Hello, my name is Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record program number 530, titled Alpha Males, subtitled One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory. This is being recorded on October 16th of the year 2005. And at the end of this broadcast, I'm going to mention a number of sources that are linked to the descriptions in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, which will flesh out listeners' understanding, because those of you who only follow the program on the radio are missing the vast bulk of the For the Record experience, so to speak. There's a tremendous amount of information on either the Spitfire website and or its linked URL, so please take advantage of those. Now, inside one of the program, we were looking at a global network, as Tony Blair described it, that was trafficking or that was supporting the 9/11 hijackers. And this was a global network that was apparently supporting Mohammed Atta in Europe as well as in Florida. In many visits with Daniel Hopsicker, we have examined the discrepancies between the official version of Mohammed Atta's activities in Florida in the U.S. and what he was actually doing, and it was very apparent that Mohammed Atta was part of a global network that involved a number of different things, including drug trafficking and their evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of some of the covert operations in the 1980s, including the Iran-Contra-Iraq gate affairs and the Afghan Mujahideen support effort, and also as Daniel mentioned in a number of our interviews, as he has written in the book Welcome to Terrorland and also in some of his articles, in Florida, Mohammed Atta was hanging out with people largely from Europe. Sure, he had many Arab and Muslim associates, but he was also freely associating, in addition to people from the American covert operations world, with Germans, Austrian, and Swiss. Some of his German and Austrian associates described as being the sons of prominent German industrialists. The sourcing for that remains somewhat ambiguous. One of the things that we were looking at inside one of the program are some of the evidentiary tributaries running through the Alpha Group, hence the pun in the title of the broadcast, Alpha Males. Alpha is a Russian conglomerate that's heavily involved with the Russian petroleum industry. It also has many subsidiaries involved in all sorts of funny activities like drug trafficking in combination with heroin traffickers, people from the Kali cartel also involved to a certain extent with the Iran-Contra affair. We've taken a look at evidentiary tributaries running through the Alpha Group to the direction of the food oil for food scam that Saddam Hussein was running, and through that to people like Carlos Carduin, the Chilean-based arms trafficker who was one of the principals in the Iraq gate affair, one of the overlapping illegal covert operations of the Reagan-Bush years. One of the things that's interesting about the Russian organized crime establishment and its links with the powerful oligarchs in the former Soviet Union is how a country which was the economic basket case of the entire world suddenly has spawned these ravenous and preeminent economic entities. One of the things that looms in the Russian organized crime and oligarchical milieu, of course, is the fact that enormous state-run enterprises were then privatized. It's also apparent that some of the organized crime activity coming out of Russia stems from networks that were developed by the Komsomol, the youth wing of the Russian of the former Soviet Communist Party, and many of the operatives of some of the Russian organized crime, so-called Russian mafia institutions, are former KGB and GRU operatives. GRU is Russian military intelligence. One of the things that I wonder about, and this is obviously a speculative element, is how, again, people or and institutions from the economic basket case of the industrialized world suddenly have emerged as these global players, and it seems to me that they must have had help. One of the things I wonder about in connection with the Russian mafia is whether perhaps, and I think there are indications that that's the case, elements of the Bormann Group, the economic component of a Third Reich gone underground and perpetuated in mafia-like style, may have hooked up with the elements that were to coalesce into the Russian organized crime and oligarchical milieu. If so, what we may be looking at is sort of an underground economic manifestation of traditional German Ostpolitik. It has been some time since we visited with Kevin Coogan, the brilliant author of the text Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Postwar Fascist International. Perhaps we'll be visiting with Kevin again before too much longer. There are numerous interviews with Kevin Coogan available on the in the For the Record series, courtesy of the websites that are maintained by sister station WFMU. In Dreamer of the Day, Kevin talks about how Yockeyite fascism, a contemporary manifestation of fascism, which not only incorporates philosophy and even some of the elements that descended from the Third Reich, but specifically forges those with elements that were traditionally left from the Cold War. When I say left, I mean ideologically left. For Yockey, one of the most important fascist theoreticians of the post-war period and himself a Nazi spy before, during, and after World War II, for Yockey, the two biggest ills in the world were the United States and Judaism, and he advocated a worldwide alliance against the U.S. and against the Jews in order to wipe them out. And that alliance incorporated not only Third World elements, but also elements that were traditionally communist, such as the former People's Republic of China and the Soviet Union. And again, in some of our interviews with Kevin Coogan, we've talked about traditional German Ostpolitik, something that predates the World War II period by a long way. One of the things that I wonder about, and again, this is obviously speculative, is whether perhaps some of the Russian organized crime slash oligarchical elements, such as those to be found within the Alpha Group, are hooked up with the Bormann Group. And I suspect that the Alpha Fellowship is offered under the umbrella of the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft indicates just that. What we may be looking at is sort of an underground Reich slash underground Soviet or post-Soviet link along the lines of German Ostpolitik and Yockeyite fascism. However, this manifested through corporate connections. Again, the underground Reich is what Philip Bobbitt referred to as a virtual state. And instead of using armies and nation states, basically instead of using armies on behalf of the nation state, corporate entities are used on behalf of the virtual state. So again, I have more questions than answers about the Russian mob and about its linked oligarchical elements. But when one sees the Alpha Fellowship being offered under the auspices of the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft, and then when one looks at the evidentiary tributaries that course out from Alpha, a tremendously powerful institution, and about as corrupt as it is powerful, I do think it raises those questions. And again, to flesh out one's understanding, I think the landmark text, Dreamer of the Day, Francis Parker Yockey and the Postwar Fascist International, by Kevin Coogan, still in print, by the way, courtesy of Otano Media, that is a book that I think needs to be read. I also think that the book Dreamer of the Day is, well, in my opinion, it is essential for an understanding of the milieu of September 11th. And although the book was published well before September 11th, many of the things that I talk about are, I think, much more readily understood after one has read Kevin's book. So, again, it's not an easy read. It's 600 plus tough pages, but it's well worth the effort and the expense of picking it up. Now, what we're going to look at is some more of these alpha males, so to speak. We're going to take a look at some of the evidentiary tributaries coursing out of the Alpha Group and running through, of all places, Liechtenstein, a tiny European country of just 32,000 people that basically is an offshore money laundering fest, so to speak. There's something like three offshore trusts for every human being in Liechtenstein. Offshore here, not referring to physically offshore, but what the brilliant Lucy Commissar has discussed in numerous interviews that we have had with her. And God willing, on the creek don't rise, we'll be visiting with Lucy before too much longer as well. Again, Liechtenstein is a tiny European country of just 32,000 people. Its specialty, basically, is money laundering for corporations, for political entities, for criminal syndicates. And what we're going to look at now concerns another of the evidentiary tributaries coming out from the Alpha Group and coursing through Liechtenstein. Now, we're going to take a look at an article from the Wall Street, actually an AP story from June 8th of 2001. This is datelined Zug, Switzerland, and it's headlined, Mark Rich Deal to Sell Commodities Operation to Russian Group Fails. Mark Rich was another international mover and shaker, an individual involved with both the Iran-Contra and in particular the Iraqgate affairs. Many of his activities coursed through the BCCI. He received a last-minute pardon just before Bill Clinton left office. And what this article deals with is the Alpha Group and an Alpha subsidiary called Crown Resources' unsuccessful attempts at purchasing some of Mark Rich's properties. The article reads in part, a deal to sell the Swiss-based commodities operation of former U.S. fugitive financier Mark Rich to Russian-owned energy trading group Crown Resources is off. Skipping down. Crown is owned by the Alpha Group conglomerate. Rich indirectly holds a stake in Mark Rich investment through his wholly owned holding company. Now, for our purposes here, the main focal point is Crown and Alpha. Crown is yet another of the subsidiaries of the Alpha Group. Now, we're going to take a look at an individual who's going to play a significant role in this hell of a conspiracy theory that I'm advancing here. These are from some of the papers from a lawsuit that was filed in New York City. Norex Petroleum Limited, the plaintiff versus Access Industries Incorporated et al. And many of the Crown and Alpha subsidiaries here are the plaintiffs in this lawsuit. Now, noting number 30, Dr. Norbert Seeger from Rechtsanwalt and Vaduz, Liechtenstein. Vaduz is the capital of this tiny country, Liechtenstein. Information includes knowledge of facts pertaining to role of Crown Finance Foundation and other Crown entities in money laundering and tax evasion activities. Norbert Seeger is an attorney for the Crown Alpha subsidiary, and is alleged in this lawsuit to have pertinent information relevant to some of the illegal activities that around which the lawsuit is centered. Now, Norbert Seeger is an interesting guy. He is one of the alpha males we're talking about here, and we're going to come back to Norbert Seeger in the context of Liechtenstein. By the way, Bank Altaqua was originally incorporated in Liechtenstein, or the NADA group that became Bank Altaqua was incorporated in Liechtenstein. And Liechtenstein, again, is a very interesting country. It was bought off of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, in the late 17th century. And again, it is an independent country of just 32,000 people. It is basically its main industry is money laundering. And Liechtenstein is also an absolute monarchy for all intents and purposes, the only one in Europe. Now, the ruler, the potentate of Liechtenstein is Prince Hans Adam II. And the vehicle, the front, basically, behind which his, for all intents and purposes, absolute monarchy operates, is a tiny political party called the Progressive Citizens Party, which is anything but what its name implies. The Progressive Citizens Party is basically the front vehicle that allows Prince Hans Adam to run Liechtenstein as an absolute monarchy, albeit one of just 32,000 people. But its tiny population should not mislead one to mistake the fact that Liechtenstein is very important, and it is very important because of its role as an offshore money laundering principality. The power here is economic, and we're going to take a look at just how the Progressive Citizens Party, the front, basically, for the absolute monarchy of Prince Hans Adam II, who rules Liechtenstein, we're going to take a look at how this was incorporated, basically how this was realized. This is from the Wikipedia online encyclopedia of Liechtenstein and its politics. It says, in a referendum in March of 2003, 64% of voters in Liechtenstein approved a measure to give Prince Hans Adam II the power to dismiss governments, approve judicial nominees, and veto laws. It is the most power of any monarch in Europe. Hans Adam had threatened to leave the country if the measure was not approved. The prince's involvement in legislation consists in a right to take initiatives in the form of government bills and in the right to veto parliamentary proposals. The prince has the power to enact princely decrees, Emergency princely decrees are possible when the security and welfare of the country is at stake. A countersignature by the head of government is nevertheless required. The prince has the right to convene and adjourn Parliament and, for serious reasons, to adjourn it for 3 months or to dissolve it. On the basis of the names put forward by Parliament, the prince nominates the government, district, and high court judges, the judges of the Supreme Court, and the presidents and their deputies of the Constitutional Court and of the Administrative Court of Appeal. The prince's other authorities include exercising the right to mitigate and commute punishments that have been imposed with legal force and the abolition, i.e. the dismissal, of investigations that have been initiated. All judgments are issued in the name of the prince. Since 2001, it has been the Progressive Citizens Party that has provided all the members of the government. The minority parties as opposition parties act as a check on the government in Parliament and on parliamentary commissions. Basically, these democratic trappings are just that. Basically, they are no more than trappings because basically the power in Liechtenstein is the royal family. It is, for all intents and purposes, an absolute monarchy. But the vehicle for making this palatable and for obfuscating the reality is the Progressive Citizens Party, or FBPL. The head of the Progressive Citizens Party is none other than Norbert Seeger, the attorney who is one of the plaintiffs in that suit and a guy who works for Crown Alpha, one of the Alpha Group's subsidiaries, okay? So again, if some of this appears to be far afield, we're looking at what I believe to be a Bormann network, an underground Reich network that is the global network that was not only trafficking around Mohammed Atta, but taking care of a whole lot of business in various places as well. What we're going to do next is to review some information from For the Record program represented in the broadcast For the Record program 442. We're going to be taking a look at some excerpts from an article from Forward magazine entitled Terror Fund Trail Leads to Alpine Kingdom, authored by Mark Perlman in Forward's issue of October 17th of 2003. Now, what we're going to be looking at here concerns the links between the royal family of Liechtenstein that we were just looking at that operates behind the front, so to speak, as an absolute monarchy. It operates behind the front of the Progressive Citizens Party of Liechtenstein that is headed by Norbert Seeger, the attorney for the Crown Alpha subsidiary of the Alpha Group that also has a fellowship under the auspices, the umbrella auspices of the Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft. Now, again, in this article from Forward magazine, Terror Fund Trail Leads to Alpine Kingdom by Mark Perlman, in the context of a discussion of Salomon Beheri, an apparent al-Qaeda financier who became a fugitive, and his dealings with the bank al-Taqwa, we read, "The prosecution also alleged that Beheri is linked to a secretive financial network in Switzerland and Liechtenstein called al-Taqwa, which American and European investigators say is a financial backer of the Muslim Brotherhood. The Brotherhood, often depicted as the ideological parent of most radical Islamic groups, recently has come under government scrutiny for its possible direct role in supporting terrorism, most prominently because of al-Taqwa. The Bush administration and the United Nations have designated the al-Taqwa network and its main officials, two self-avowed Muslim brothers and an admitted Nazi sympathizer, as supporters of al-Qaeda. As a result, their assets have been frozen and they are the focus of a Swiss investigation. The al-Taqwa officials have repeatedly rejected the charges. At the Beheri detention hearing last month, prosecutor Stephen Ward described Beheri as the Muslim Brotherhood's, quote, financial toehold in the U.S., unquote. The prosecution said it had established links between Beheri and the two principals of al-Taqwa, Youssef Nada and Ghaleb Himat. According to testimony from Special Agent Kane of the Bureau of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the addresses of Nada and Himat were found in Beheri's laptop computer. Kane told the court that there were, quote, other indications, unquote, of connections between al-Taqwa and Beheri's company BMI, including financial transactions. Skipping down. One company in the Altaqua galaxy that was designated by the United States and the UN as a terrorist-related entity is a Liechtenstein entity called ASAT Trust. Its director, Martin Wachter, W-A-C-H-T-E-R, told The Forward this year that ASAT Trust operates merely as a registry for businesses and is not involved in the operation of any company. He added that the American government has wrongfully designated ASAT Trust as a terrorist-related entity because it had once represented Altaqua in a small real estate deal in Switzerland. Still, copies of business registration documents on file with authorities in Liechtenstein show that ASAT Trust has been intimately involved with the Altaqua network during the last 30 years, registering changes in company names, personnel, and financial structure, which may explain why ASAT Trust landed on the American and UN terrorist lists. Now note how this Altaqua affiliate links up here with the royal family of Liechtenstein. Continuing with this Forward article. The records also shed light on the involvement of one member of the royal family of Liechtenstein in ASAT Trust. According to the documents, deceased Prince Emmanuel von und zu Liechtenstein became a board member of ASAT Trust in May of 1970 and stayed until November of 1990 when he was replaced by Wachter, the Trust's current director. Florian Krenkel, a spokesman for the royal family, said Prince Emmanuel died in 1987 and that he was a distant cousin from ruling Prince Hans Adam II. There also appear to be some links between ASAT Trust and a bank owned by the Liechtenstein royal family. Several ASAT Trust documents feature on their letterheads, quote, Bank in Liechtenstein AG, unquote, beneath ASAT Trust. The royal family bank has changed its name and is now called LGT Bank. A telephone and an email query to the bank spokesman, Hans Martin Ueringer, went unreturned. Unquote. So the royal family of Liechtenstein involved with a bank Altaqua subsidiary alleged to be one of the support elements for Al-Qaeda and for the September 11th hijackers. But again, what we're looking at here is a global network, and we're going to ruminate a little bit about Bank Altaqua, because as we've seen in the past, Bank Altaqua has a whole lot more to it than just, quote, Muslims, unquote, or Arabs, unquote. It is the financial vehicle for the Muslim Brotherhood. Its head, Youssef Nada, was a Nazi spy in World War II. Ernest Bacchus, one of Europe's top money laundering experts, is of the opinion that the driving force behind the founding of Bank Altaqua was the late Francois Janoux. But again, there's a whole lot more going on there than just Arabs and Muslims. A little bit about Liechtenstein. Last year when, this by the way is from the New York Times of April 8, 2000, high atop an alpine ridge sits a prince in a 130-room castle in a tiny domain that has made a name for itself by hiding people's money. It has also found a bit more international attention than it would like. Last year, when German prosecutors investigated millions of dollars of secret donations to former Chancellor Helmut Kohl, the trail led to Liechtenstein, a principality the size of Fort Wayne, Indiana. When Swiss investigators looked into millions of dollars of obscure, quote, payments, unquote, involving the sale of a decrepit refinery to a French oil company, the money trail also led to Liechtenstein. In 1996, when American agents seized a Swiss launderer of Latin American drug profits, he confessed that he loved to do business in Liechtenstein since its banks never divulged much about its clients. The affable 55-year-old Prince Hans Adam II, whose ancestors bought the country from the Austrian crown some three centuries ago, sees his nation of 32,000 people as merely offering banking privacy and low taxes. To him, bank secrecy and wafer-thin tax rates are services the country offers, just like its dairy products and its leading export, dental prosthetics. And it talks about basically how there are something like three offshore trusts for every citizen, every one of Liechtenstein's 32,000 citizens. Now, the reference here to the millions of dollars of secret donations to former Chancellor Helmut Kohl, and also a later reference involving the sale of a decrepit refinery to a French oil company. Those are references to the CDU funding scandal and to the renovation of the Leuna facility in the former East Germany. In connection with that, I refer listeners not only to a couple of For the Record shows about the CDU funding scandal, but also to For the Record programs 469 and 476 dealing with the Schmitz family, because John P. Schmitz, the son of John G. Schmitz, was a beneficiary of the Robert Bosch Fellowship. That, like the Alpha Fellowship, is offered under the umbrella of the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft that was trafficking around Mohammed Atta. And interestingly enough, it appears to have been the Robert Bosch Fellowship of which John P. Schmitz, former counsel to the elder George Bush, and now a law partner with Richard Benveniste in a firm that is representing a number of companies that are connected to September 11th investigations. John P. Schmitz was working in conjunction with Matthias Wissmann, the former former treasurer of the CDU. And now Matthias Wissmann is working for Wilmer Cutler and Pickering, which in turn has been representing powerful German firms, including the Deutsche Post and Deutsche Telekom in their efforts, government-connected institutions, by the way, in their efforts, successful to move into American markets. In the written description for the Record program number 530, I will talk about some of the many, many links running from Bank Altaqua to elements having nothing really to do, or nothing directly to do with Muslims or Islamic terrorism, because again, what I believe we're looking at here is a fascist milieu, part of the underground Reich, and the evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the Hunt family through bin Musulmin, in the direction of Italian fascism through people like Karim Alessandro Gay and Gustavo Selva and Pier Felice Barchi, the lawyer for Youssef Nader, head of Bank Altaqua, who previously handled the Swiss investments for none other than Silvio Berlusconi, former P2 member and now the Prime Minister of Italy. Well, these are some of the links that run out from Bank Altaqua. Point being here, there's a whole lot more going on here than just, quote, Arabs, unquote, or, quote, Muslims, unquote. Not that they aren't involved and they're by no means innocent, but this is part of what I believe is an underground Reich network. I think as we take a look at Liechtenstein, its royal family, Norbert Seeger, who heads the Progressive Citizens Party, I believe we are looking at a globalized virtual state, an underground Reich. And it was this institution, through its tributaries like the CDS, the Alpha Fellowship, and others, who was trafficking around Mohammed Atta, and an institution, a network that is very much with us today. And these alpha males, so to speak, are major, major players that we should all be careful of. And I'll admit, this is one hell of a conspiracy theory. In order to understand that theory a lot better, I refer listeners to the Spitfire website at www.spitfirelist.com and the many addresses that can be that are linked to that. Go to the top of each of the more recent descriptions for the Record, and you will see many of these links to websites that maintain books for download for free, like Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, and Nazis Go Underground, and All Honorable Men, a blog spot, a blog sphere that is being put together out of the For the Record descriptions, all kinds of other websites as well, a website featuring the declassified documents proving the Bush family's involvement with Nazi industry before, during, and after the war, a search function, lectures, two websites maintained by sister station WFMU that are archiving the For the Record shows, yet another site where you can have For the Record podcast to you, courtesy of WFMU. Also, a page to click on to support the work that I'm doing. And if you don't like what you're seeing, there's no better way to work against it than to support the work that I'm doing. This concludes For the Record program number 530, Side 2, Alpha Males, One Hell of a Conspiracy Theory, being recorded on October 16th of the year 2005. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.